However, the same marriages that consolidated faulty genes also consolidated land. A list of the territories ruled by Charles V in 1521 notes that he was king in Germany of Castile, Aragon, Leon. The text runs to 13 further lines and still ends with a breezy etc. Look at a map of Europe between the 13th and 17th centuries and you see Habsburg territory spread. Glacially slow but relentless until a vast proportion of the continent was covered. Like a glacier, their rule could have a chilling effect on the lands beneath it. Voltaire famously pointed out that the Holy Roman Empire was neither holy nor Roman nor an empire, but the Habsburgs, who presided over it for more than 300 years, often had other ideas. In the 16th century, Philip II, convinced he had a divine mission to preserve Catholicism, exported the Spanish Inquisition to the New World. It did its job so effectively that even tattoos were censored. Over that entire century, the output of the printing presses in Lima and Mexico City was limited to fewer than 200 titles, most unbearably dull. In recounting these stories, Mr. Raddy may at times overestimate his readers' familiarity with his material and, perhaps, their appetite for it. Leopold I, he writes, is often criticised for spending too much on opera and too little on architecture, but this is unfair. A useful corrective to the Leopold and opera camp, but less interesting for others. Elsewhere, his book seems exhaustive as much as definitive. Nonetheless, it has fascinating moments. The story of the Habsburgs, whose last emperor died in 1922, is indelibly inscribed in European history. Dante popped a Habsburg in his Purgatory. Titian immortalized them, and Velázquez painted for them. The creator of the original Mechanical Turk made his metaphor to amuse them. Pre-20th century Europe is unthinkable without the Habsburgs, as indeed is 20th century Europe. For on June 28, 1914, a Habsburg named Archduke Franz Ferdinand got into an open-topped car and went for a drive in Sarajevo.